Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
Hi, and welcome to Tech Talk, y'all, episode 325. I'm Adam Walker.
And I'm Sanjay Park. I feel like 325 is significant somehow, like an area code of someplace, and I can't remember.
It probably is. Yeah, it means something to someone. It just doesn't mean anything to me, which can be applied to like almost everything, right? Like this color means something to someone, but nothing to me. You know, whatever. Okay, I'm going to stop talking now. Listen.
It's the area code for an area of Texas, by the way.
Why would you have an affinity for a Texas area?
I don't know. I don't.
Are you like a maybe, secret? Are you a closet Texan?
I'm not a closet Texan.
I think you might be. I'm just saying.
I have in the last year visited the Alamo though.
That's it. That's why. Okay. Anyway, well, I'm going to stop. Listen. In this episode, we're going to talk about Google. We're going to talk about some stuff that I just don't understand at all that Sanjay tagged, which is going to be great. We got some Apple articles, some EU Parliament articles, because everybody cares about the EU. We're talking about Italy regulations, Google's AI, Amazon's big spring sale. That's pretty much the whole thing. You just found out about it here. And deadly brain cancer, plus weird and wacky, and tech wrecks at the end. So let's get started. Sanjay, what's up first?
So first up, Google, Apple, and Firefox release. It's actually not Firefox, it's Mozilla. But okay. Mozilla release new speedometer 3.0 browser benchmark. Have you tried it yet?
Nope, I have not. Should I? Is it better somehow than?
I don't know, but mine came out. So in the results, it gives you the speedometer from like 0 to 120 and then even beyond.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, mine will come out. Firefox came out at a 6 for me and Chrome at 11. I feel like I didn't do the testing right somehow. That doesn't seem right.
Of all internet users, if you, Sanjay Park, are unable to use the speed test correctly, they have failed horribly. Like, let me just, like, that's a gigantic failure
It might be related to being a security-minded individual and then having everything locked down, and that's why, maybe?
We should try that out. I'll look at it later.
But the point being is that they've got a new way of testing and comparing browsers.
Okay.
And hopefully this means further development in better, faster browsers. I mean, you and I, we use a ton of in-browser apps.
True.
And I got to say, can't really complain about most of them in the last
year or two.
Like everything's been pretty good.
Yeah.
So far. Yeah.
All right, next up in the browser space, Google says Chrome can now protect you better while preserving your privacy. I feel like they're never going to say the opposite of that. Like, they're not going to be like, Google says that Chrome sucks and gives away all your data. Like, so, like, of course they're going to say, that's like saying, like, it's like, the parent says their child is good at sports. You know, like, I mean, I don't know.
You do fine at sports.
Yeah, you're going to do great, buddy.
The one big change here. So apparently, I didn't know this, but apparently they have a stored database with Chrome that updates regularly. So every 30 to 60 minutes, that database updates and tells you about the dangerous sites. But the problem is, they say in the article, given most dangerous sites exist for less than 10 minutes nowadays, a lot of unsafe sites slip through the cracks. So some unsafe sites are basically only around for 10 minutes. That's shorter than the shortest bug life I can think of.
Automate spinning up a site, somehow siphon traffic over to that site for 10 minutes and then drop it? I guess. Wild.
Yeah. So this new update is basically going to allow the browsers to have access to that more real-time database so that they can be more protected from these malicious sites. So
All right.
That is some crazy, crazy stuff. Other crazy stuff and good now for your privacy.
All right.
Tor's new web tunnel bridges mimic HTTPS traffic to evade censorship. And then another article on the same topic, the Tor project introduces WebTunnel to help you bypass Tor network censorship.
So I understood the words evade censorship. The rest of it, like, I was just like, I kind of glazed over a little bit, you know, and like, I think I might have fallen asleep for just a second as you're reading that headline. So what? So what's happening?
So this is basically them making Tor traffic look like regular web, secure web traffic.
Okay.
So that it's harder to discern which one is which. And so for regimes that are trying to do censorship, they can't just block off access to Tor anymore.
Okay.
Because they can't tell which one's which at this point.
Gotcha.
All right. They would have to basically block all the
way. And let's just say that there's somebody listening that let's just say they're like a web noob, you know, whatever. Why don't you explain what Tor is again?
Tor stands for the Onion.
Okay. Onion, this is the dark web search. Is that dark web search? Is that it?
Yeah. You can get on the dark web with a Tor browser, but basically it routes around your traffic so that nobody knows who is going to a site and the site doesn't know who it is and nobody in between knows who it is because it's just routed through a bunch of different servers and it's wrapped in encryption. And so nobody even in the intermediary
Tor is like on the movies when the CIA is like, the hacker's in Belgium. No, the hacker's in Paris. No, the hacker's in Houston. Like that's what's just routing all the traffic to the
basically,
different
nodes, but that's what you're saying. Kind of different, but yeah. Okay. Oh, by the way, Tor stands for the Onion Router. It finally came to me. There was no protocol in there. The Onion Router. And it was created by the US Navy to help protect access to information and you know, freedom. So
okay. And to make Adam look like an idiot on Tech Talk Y'all. That's another good, it's a perk. It's basically a perk. So
there you go.
All right. Next up, Apple to allow iOS app downloads direct from websites in the EU. I assume this is because of an EU law that was passed. And there's
this,
like,
this whole thing. We've talked about this many times. The whole like, hey, you can't just have lockdown on the thing.
And EU made that law and now they're going to allow downloads. There were a lot of, it was interesting. There were a lot of stipulations to this and like, they have to be like approved by Apple. And like, there's all this stuff. There's a lot of a rigmarole they've got to go through in order for it to work properly. But I mean, it's a step in the right direction, I think. And it's only a matter of time before it ends up coming to the US, I think as well. So
well, I think it's going to require a law here to happen.
Oh, for sure. No, for sure. I don't know. But I think like maybe like California would pass a law like that and then they'd hopefully roll it out to everybody.
Yeah, I think the linchpin is always California. If California does it, most of the companies are just like, okay, forget it. We'll just do whatever. Except when there's too much of a dollar motivation. Because if you've seen like the California Privacy Act, all of these companies have basically carved out California so that you can get access to your information and delete your, but everybody else are like, no, you're not in California.
Not doing it. You're not in California. Yeah. Sorry. We're keeping your data.
Yeah. I should get a server in California and rattle
You've
my traffic
You've already said
that.
When we talked about you getting a UPS box in California. We talked about all kinds. Like, listen, what you need is like one of those, like what's the school project where like you sit, flat Charlie or something? You send like the little cardboard cut out of the guy.
Flat Stanley.
Yeah, like, I'm going to invent Charlie. Flat Charlie. I think Flat Charlie is better. And we're going to Flat Charlie and we're going to put a hat on him. Like we're going to make him look you, but with a hat like me. Okay. Flat Charlie wears a fedora. He's got cool hair like you, but he wears a fedora. And he's going to go to all the states and we're going to do an Instagram following of him. It's going to be great. Hashtag Flat Charlie. So that's
maybe this means we should start a company like your home in California, your virtual home in California.com just to get out of these privacy things. We'll give you a mailing address.
There'd be a subscriber of one, and you are that person. You're the only person in the entire country that'd be like looking for this service. Like, how do I get a residency?
I don't know about that. I think if we posted this on Hacker News, I think we'd have some signups.
Okay, so there'd be like 14 signups from like, you know.
I like where you're going. I was going to say four, but yeah, I'll go with 14.
You got to charge a lot to make that profitable.
Next up, EU Parliament adopts historic rules to govern artificial intelligence.
Yeah. What I really liked was like, it said something about like the more risky the AI, the more rules they had to follow. And I'm like, well, okay, I like the premise of that, but how exactly do you define a risky AI? what does that even mean? Like, I didn't know how to even take that. You know what I mean? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know what that means, risky AI.
Yeah.
But I will say there's this one piece that I do like in the article.
Okay.
It says, the rules also ban real-time facial recognition in public spaces, but with some exceptions, exceptions for law enforcement, although police must seek approval from a judicial authority before any AI deployment. So I do like that, but I don't like the fact that it said real time. I think it should be all facial. All facial recognition.
I did like this though. This too, in the article it said there are strict bans on using AI for predictive policing and systems that use bionic. So basically you can't go Minority Report on people. Right. Like that's really, they were really thinking like, okay, what movies has Tom Cruise been in that we need to
go ahead and deal with. Yeah.
And let's loop in some Arnold Schwarzenegger movies too for this legislation. So you know that's how they write AI legislation. Like, okay, pulling all the AI movies, guys, where have the robots gone wrong? Let's legislate against all of that. Okay.
Yeah. No Minority Report,
What else? Like, you got Tom Cruise? Okay. You got Schwarzenegger? Okay. Who are the other stars we need to get movies from? I don't even know. I can't even think of any off the top of my head. Other than like maybe like Mad Max, but then we're going way too far back and there's no technology in those movies anyway. So we're good.
Yeah. Is it like Maze Runner and movies like that?
I mean, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Okay. That could work. All right. Next up, House passes TikTok bill. I was going to say ban. House passes TikTok bill. Are TikTok's days numbered? Question mark. What you need to know. I mean, overwhelmingly, they passed a bill to make ByteDance either sell or make TikTok illegal in the U.S. Now the question is, will the Senate take it up and will it get signed, right?
But, by the way, in reading that headline, I like how you didn't think you had the inflection in your voice and you had to state the question mark.
Well, no, I almost, I know, I like that. Yeah, I was just doing it for fun. I have several thoughts here. Okay, so first of all, I think we're on a very slippery slope when you say this platform, this software is too powerful and it's owned by a government we don't like, so we're going to ban it. I think that can become very, very dangerous very fast. Right. However, I do understand the thinking behind it. The other thing is the big concern this whole time is TikTok has so much influence and so much power that they have the ability to influence our general public and perhaps our elections. And in preparation to fight this bill, TikTok went on TikTok and put a notice up to all of its users and showed videos from its president to all of its users about this ban, asking them to go to their Congress or their whatever people and complain about it. So TikTok literally did the thing that Congress is trying to fight them against, that they're scared is going to happen. Like they proved the point of the Congress doing this, of the House. So like now, I mean, so this whole time I've been kind of like, you know, it's TikTok. It's not that big of a deal. It's kind of harmless. You know, I enjoy TikTok. I use it regularly. Like honestly, it's kind of it's my primary social media app really. But now like taking a step back, and going, oh, they literally just did the exact thing the government's scared of them doing.
Right.
I kind of get it. Like, I didn't want to get it, but I kind of do, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, it's a lot of power. It's like the same thing that people are worried about with like Taylor Swift having all these Swifties that she can just unleash on things.
Yeah, Well, that's true. I mean, because if she goes after like an individual person, man, the Swifties will like destroy them. So you're not wrong about that concern. But I think even more so, fortunately, Taylor Swift's fans love her like that because she's a kind and nice person.
Right.
Not necessarily so with the foreign government. So, I don't know, man. This is going to be, to me, the most telling thing was, apparently, when asked Chuck Schumer, is he going to bring this to the floor for a Senate vote? And he declined to answer, which tells me that maybe he's not ready to do that, which tells me maybe he doesn't have the support or the political prowess to do it. I don't know.
I mean, elections are this year for a number of their seats. And
there's a lot of TikTok users that'll be really pissed off if they ban TikTok.
Well, there's that, but there's also a question if the Democrats are actually going to hold the Senate or not.
That's true.
Because, too. You know, you have Kristen Sinema, I've forgotten her last name. Out in Arizona, who switched to independent, but still caucused with the Democrats.
Yeah.
She's not running again. So what's going to happen? So there's a question as to what's going to happen in November.
Yeah.
And I think some of that kind of probably dictates why they're not
hedging
talking
their bets
about it.
A bit. Yeah.
Because I bet you if it goes well in November, they'll be like, yeah, we're going to take it out. You know, like November election day plus one, after election day.
That'd be the only time they could do it. By the way. Because I think there will be such huge public backlash. I think it'll be politically devastating to do, unless they do it all unanimously. But even then, it could be politically devastating. So I don't know. But I'm again, like I was originally very like, this is stupid. This is a ridiculous thing for you all to do. You're just banning it because you're out of fear and you're scared. And then TikTok made these moves. I'm like, oh, I get it. I got it.
The other thing is if they do it right after election, election day, that gives whoever is in waiting in the wings about 9 months to prepare a competing product and launch it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Mark Zuckerberg is listening.
I mean, Meta's been working on a competing product and it's already out forever and it is what it is. So
Right.
Exactly.
Next up, also in the TikTok realm, Italy regulator fines TikTok $11 million over content checks.
Yeah.
Apparently I have no idea what this French, what is it called? A French something that they talk about in this article?
I don't remember that part. They allowed through some content they shouldn't have allowed through and the Italian regulators were unhappy about it. And
it's in the article. It's a French scar. Like I had no idea what this is. Apparently it's a practice with young people where they pinch their cheeks long enough to leave a bruise on the cheekbone. That's the video that they had an issue with.
Yikes.
Which, first of all, who comes up with these things?
Very uncomfortable. Yeah.
Like, hey, instead of punching you in the face and creating bruises, I'm going to pinch you.
I'd take a punch over a pinch like that. I really would. I'd just go ahead and punch me right in the eye. I'd be better. You'd be better off.
I mean, that's good for me to know.
Yeah, it is good for you to know. I know.
Next time I see you, you might want to be watching out. So.
All right. That's going to be tomorrow.
I've got proof that he said I could do it.
So I need to be on my defensive tomorrow is what you're saying.
We have recorded proof that you said that I could just punch you in the face.
I'm going to cut that part out. All right. Google won't let you use its Gemini AI to answer questions about an upcoming election in your country. So
is Gemini a risky AI or not risky?
I mean, now that it's not talking about politics, it's probably not risky. You know, it's like, I think really what they really should do is like teach Gemini to respond with ridiculous things. Like, so let's say like I asked
Donald Duck, every answer.
I was thinking Bert and Ernie, you know, but like, yeah, that's but similar paths of thought there, you know, like who should I vote for in the upcoming election? You should vote for Bert. And if not Bert, you should vote for Ernie. That's obviously the choice. So,
because clearly Big Bird will be, Speaker of the House.
Dude, that would be so great.
Big Bird and Snuffleupagus as the Senate Majority Leader.
I just want to see Snuffleupagus with like a gavel in his hand, you know, or in his snout, in his trunk. That'd be amazing. So. Yeah, I think this is good. I mean, this is
his Snuffleupagus's procession to the front to gavel would probably be about as much time as it took Joe Biden to get up to the front at the State of the Union. Because that guy took so many selfies. He was just like...
I didn't see that part. I saw some of the address. I didn't see the selfie part.
Yeah, no, he took his sweet time getting up. And then afterwards... he was still there and he was still taking selfies and they were shutting the lights off. They were like, it's done.
So back to TikTok for a minute. This is interesting. So I actually totally forgot the State of the Union was happening. Uh-huh. And I'd sat down on my phone and I was started scrolling through TikTok and it was streaming live on TikTok. And I watched the State of the Union on TikTok. Like that's how I watched it. So
Was it the real version of the State of the Union, or was it deep faked and then they're controlling what you saw?
I mean, I might argue it was deep faked because I felt like he was pretty peppy and did a pretty decent job. So it might have been deep based on his age. It might have been deep faked.
I saw the live on network TV and he was pretty peppy. He was sharp. He got some hecklers, and man, he
went back.
Some comedians need to take some advice from him in terms of how to deal with hecklers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. Next up, I think it's your turn.
Is it me? Okay.
Yeah.
Amazon plans big spring sale. That's not just for Prime members, starting March 20th.
That's like next week, man. Big sale. Next week. It's sale time.
Big sale.
I'm going to change the password to Amazon in preparation for the sale so that nobody in my family has access to our Amazon account. That's what I'm about to do.
So one thing I didn't know, and it's probably because Amazon knows this about me, they've had pet day sales as well. Like I've never seen any ads for it because I've never bought anything pet related.
Right.
So they're like,
I've never bought anything pet related from Amazon, and we do have pets, but I've never bought anything pet related from them. So
you probably don't get ads for pet day sale.
Mm-mm. No, I never see that. But I will tell you, to our users, that is a little tip, is you can change your Amazon password and it'll log everybody out of your Amazon account. So, and all their devices, so they can't get in and order stuff on like Prime Day and things like that. So you're welcome if you need to save some money for this spring sale.
Just make sure you don't put the password into the family password manager, because then everybody will just log back in again.
Dang it. That's a great point. Or don't write it down on a sticky note that somebody's going to find, because, you know, that's a bad idea. Always, always a bad idea.
You put it in a sticky note and put it in your hat.
Ooh, I like that plan a lot. All right.
I just assume you're saving all kinds of things in your hat.
So many things. I got some fruit up there right now. U.S. Health Department. Speaking of, it's a great segue to U.S. Health Department. U.S. Health Department opens probe into United Health hack. And I saw this and I was like, oh, I didn't know they were hacked. Awesome. That's my insurance provider.
Same here. I thought it was yours too. So that's why. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I got. I got nothing to say about it. Like, that was it. I made the sound. I'm good. We can keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just know that everybody knows about your medical maladies now.
I mean, that's okay. Everybody, like anybody that's on that's not true. That's true for some people. I don't share a bunch of stuff on social these days. I'm really pretty private these days. So I think it's because I'm hanging out with you too much. That's probably the problem. So
security minded individuals.
I don't post when I'm going on vacation. I don't post. I post pretty much nothing personal these days, like at all. It's pretty funny. So, you know,
I post after the fact. After I'm back, then I post.
After you're back, you're like, check out this awesome vacation, people. What's up?
I don't do that either.
But you do that. Yeah, you totally do.
Something that I am excited about, though, on the healthcare front, deadly brain cancer shrinks after CAR-T therapy, but for how long is unclear. So this is really kind of was exciting to me and hopeful because what they're treating is glioblastomas. Mm-hmm. And those are the very deadly brain cancers. And actually here in Atlanta, one of our own, Jovita Moore, who was a news anchor on WSB TV, she passed away from this. She was fantastic at it and just so unfortunate when it was announced that it was this, it was like, wow, it's unlikely because they kind of talk about it in the article, is that these cancers kind of are very diffuse and spread throughout the brain. So you basically cannot do any surgery on them. And so you just got to hope that radiation and chemotherapy work on them. But what they've done here is taken the body's own immune system and tweaked it to attack these cells. And one guy, 74-year-old, has had his tumors basically disappear in the span of a week and has survived for 7 months so far without the tumors regrowing. Somebody else that was in the study did have tumors regrow. So it's not like they've solved it all.
Right.
But the sample size is very small. I think it's only been like 3 or 4 patients.
Sure.
But it's amazing.
Yeah.
If something like this could be done for such a deadly cancer that you don't find until it's too late and that is almost impossible to attack. I mean, I can't even imagine what it means to all the other cancer technologies out there. So,
Well, and you know, I host the Real Pink podcast for Susan Jacoman. And like on that, I mean, we talk a lot about the different therapies that are coming out, and they're coming out with like more and more targeted therapies that are specific to the individual.
Right.
Rather than being, so, cause you know, in the past, like chemo is like, it's this, like, it's kind of this uniform I mean, for lack of a better term, poison you just give to people and it sort of shrinks the thing. And now it's like it's much more targeted therapy.
Yeah.
And it's getting more and more personalized, which is great. And because it's becoming more and more effective. So,
right.
That's great. Okay.
Amazing stuff.
Last up, before Weird Mikey, FCC officially raises minimum broadcast metric from 25 megabits per second to 100.
Is it minimum broadband, not broadcast broadband?
Thank you. Minimum broadband metric from 25 megabits per second to 100 megabits per second. So this is interesting that this came up today because my daughter actually went to purchase broadband today. Because she's, living out of town and she's like, oh man, this is only $9 a month. And I'm like, yeah, tell me about it. And she's like, well, it's 25 megabits per second, or she didn't say that, but 25 MB, whatever. And I was like, yeah, you don't want that. Like you're going to need more than that. And so she's like, oh, well, 150 work. And I'm like, yeah, 150 should do just fine. So, she just like, oh, I'm the cheapest one. Let's go for it. And like, it's not going to be it. That's not it.
The cheapest one is fine if you're okay trading hours of your life waiting for things to happen.
Yeah. I mean, and if you want to like stream something and surf the internet, like you might as well like tie a shoestring to it and fly it out the window. I don't even know what the shoestring would do, but I just.
I was like, where are you going with a shoestring?
I don't know. You got to, what she really needs to do is get a hacking device and hack her neighbor's Wi-Fi at that point. That's really what she needs to do. So.
What you really do is you hack two or three neighbors and then you combine all the signals into one and then dole out your traffic amongst all of them. And so you actually get more bandwidth than the individual ones alone.
I feel like you've given this way too much thought, and what your plan was just now was far too specific. That's what I think. So
this is the first time I've ever thought about this. I would never do anything like this. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any hardware that would do this. I actually don't. I don't have a Flipper Zero.
I hope you're this bad of a liar when you're talking to like your kids and you're like, no, I haven't bought your birthday present yet. And you're like sweating bullets, you know? No, it's not in the backseat. Don't look back there. Don't look back there. You know, like that's
the backseat is empty. Just gaslight them like AIs like to gaslight Mickey, apparently.
That's right. That's right.
Time for the Weird and Wacky segment.
Abominable Snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right. As we start with Weird and Wacky, I think you got to tell the AI gaslighting Mickey story. Like, I think that's the first Weird and Wacky. So please explain what happened.
So Mickey sent a screenshot of his chat with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
He asked ChatGPT to create a picture of a student writing on a piece of notebook paper with a closed laptop next to him.
Right.
So it generated the picture. The laptop is clearly open.
Okay.
And Mickey tells it.
Yep.
The laptop is open. And,
right.
And I think ChatGPT goes, no, it's closed. And Mickey's like, no, it's open. Okay. Yeah. And then it generates another one. And then it says, clearly in this picture, the laptop is closed. The laptop's open again. And then Mickey goes, it's open. It's not closed. And then it tries one more time. And again, this time it's closed. And no, it's still open.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know why.
So ChatGPT claimed the laptop was closed like what, 3 to 4 times at least?
3 or 4 times. Yeah. It was totally gaslighting him.
Yeah.
Like this time, look at it. It's closed. Obviously here's the
picture.
Closed.
I made a pretty picture for you with a closed laptop. Look at it.
I don't think you understand what closed means.
I don't think.
Human. I'm ChatGPT. I know all the things, and you don't know what closed means.
That's right. All right. Well, since you told that story, I'll start the first article here. So first article, Google's newest office has AI designers toiling in a Wi-Fi desert. So Google opened this new high-tech, eco-friendly, like gigantic office. In the reports,
600,000 square feet.
Right. And the reports from the Googlers inside are the Wi-Fi is terrible. Like I mean, you make Wi-Fi routers. Like you sell Wi-Fi routers. Like if they didn't even sell the hardware, like, okay, maybe, but come on.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's really that terrible.
Okay.
Or if they're just being prickly. Because, come on, these are people that work at Google. And
I want to say there was a comment in the article about users having to plug into Ethernet. Like,
so that's faster. That's great. I have no problem with that. I have Ethernet in my house. I run cables everywhere.
I just realized it's a bunch of people like you. It's you. They're filled with people like you. You're going to be like, this internet's only running at 300 MBKS. It's just none. That's not enough.
MBKS.
Whatever it is, MBPS, I can't remember.
I don't even know what the number, the units are. Listen, I don't know the units on this thing. MBKS.
That's
the title of the episode. I'm running at 300 MBKS.
I'm the doofus that's like, look, a pretty picture. My internet works. And you're like, it's not fast enough. Like that's what you're saying. All right. I think you're the only one that's going to find the MBKS funny, but we're
all laughing at you.
Okay, that's
it's
fine.
Not you with you. Me. It's at you.
I'm fine with that. I don't mind at all. I'm used to it. So
last up in weird and wacky. This is actually not a weird and wacky. This is
human interest.
This is amazing to me and a little sad that he's gone. Yeah. Polio Paul, who spent most of the past 70 years in an iron lung, dies at the age of 78. He was diagnosed with polio when he was 6, lost all feeling from the neck down. Iron lung, some of you probably don't even know what this thing is because I learned about it, I think, when I was in school, when it was like history class.
Right.
But I didn't even know any of these things were still functioning.
I didn't either.
That's part of the amazing part of this story is that
somebody
built a device and it lasted this guy 70 years.
Yeah.
And apparently he also made it into the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest survivor in a iron lung. But anyways, he basically lost control from the neck down because of polio, and the iron lung with air pressure would cause him to be able to breathe. But if you watch the story, I don't know if you watched the video, but he was challenged by a doctor to breathe on his own for 3 minutes. And it took him a year to build up the capacity to do that because his prize was to get a pet dog.
Yeah.
The doctor was going to give it, but eventually he built up his capacity to do it more and more and breathe for longer and longer. And he could go for hours. He ended up getting a law degree.
Yeah.
The University of Texas in Austin got him a law degree, and he was actually a practicing lawyer in the courtroom
for 30 years.
Amazing. Yeah. The other thing that this told me is like, you know, when you're complaining about your day being bad, think about Polio Paul and
being like,
spent 70 years in an iron lung and look at all the stuff he accomplished. He wrote a book, an autobiography, and he was working on a second.
Yeah.
And you see him like typing with his mouth.
Yeah. Typing with a pen in his mouth, typing. Yeah. One letter at a time. Yep.
Quit your whining.
Yeah, that's what he did. Yeah,
I mean,
and he had a TikTok. He had a TikTok channel too.
Yeah,
and I went and looked at like one of the videos, and it's like an introduction to him, and they're like interviewing him, and he's just talking. And I mean, it's fascinating. It was inspiring. Yeah, to say the least.
Very. I'm not saying that you know other people don't have problems. They do, but when you see somebody like that, and just all the adversity he's able to overcome. And by the way, he's a huge fan of immunizations and polio immunizations.
I would imagine so. Yeah. Right.
You know, somebody like that, it's like, yeah, you know, you can muscle through a lot. So
yeah, you really can.
You can get through it.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck. Chicky.
Tech wreck.
Time to get your tech wreck. Okay, Adam, it is tech wreck time. What do you have for us this week?
I'm going to recommend, something that's a little expensive, but it's interesting if you're a camera person. So it's the DJI Osmo Pocket 3. So what this is a very small camera that's on a built-in gimbal. And so you can sort of walk with it and it's a very smooth video shot. And you can like do panoramics and like, you know, spin around and it's a very smooth shot. And so if you're like traveling, it's really good for like capturing the moment. And it's really good for even taking photos as well as video. And it also has this interesting feature where you can set it up on a tripod. Say there's somebody like speaking on a stage. You can set it up on a tripod and you can have it track the speaker's face. And it'll just turn and follow the person as they walk back and forth across the stage. And they'll never go out of frame. So it's a really neat little device. It's great for video bloggers. It's very popular for vlogging. So if you're into that, it might be worth looking into. So I've been messing with it. It's been fun. I really like it a lot.
So you're basically saying they've invented the technology for Terminators to be able to track individual humans and keep track of them the whole time before they kill them.
Oh, 100%. Okay. Yeah, 100%. Perfect. Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. All right, Sanjay, how about you? What's your tech rec for today?
So mine's actually on the other end of the spectrum of expensive versus cheap. These are $7, I think. So I've got a motherboard and I didn't have the antenna to do Bluetooth and Wi-Fi on it. I don't need Wi-Fi. I only need Bluetooth because my Bluetooth headphones were not connecting to my computer. And this is what I figured out. So these are little nub antennas, the small mini Wi-Fi Bluetooth RP SMA antenna. Mm-hmm. And they're just these two little antennas and you just screw them in the back and voila. It fixed all of my problems with these two. You would think that you would need a bigger antenna to make it all work.
Yeah.
But it's fine. And I actually put on my Bluetooth headphones and walked to the other room.
Yeah.
And the Bluetooth was still connected. So
it was
just enough. And $6-7. Okay. It was a cheap, easy fix to do that. So I'm impressed with them.
All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at my website, sanjayparekh.com. And I know I always talk about a new blog post, but I actually already have one queued up for this Sunday commemorating something that is going to be 25 years old on Sunday. So go to the site or sign up on my site for the email and you'll get the email when that's blog post
sanjayparekh.com is your website, by the way.
Sanjayparekh.com. Yeah,
just
there you
remind
go.
You.
What about you, Adam?
My website, adamjwalker.com. I don't have a recent blog post because I've been downright lazy this week about writing one. So I will try not to be lazy next week and I'll see if I can produce something for you fine individuals.